Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 29th, and there have been a lot of news headlines over the last 3 days, and we didn't update yesterday because of the UK summer bank holiday. And of course, the US has got a bank holiday next Monday. So this is a particularly illiquid time in the market where there's a lot of people off. But what we've had is three big stories. One is that North Korea fired a missile over Japan. Then there is the smackdown that the UK received from Jean-Claude Juncker in regard to the Brexit negotiations. And then you have Hurricane Harvey. But I thought that gold was particularly interesting over the last 2 days. Yesterday, it cruised through $1,300, which is a level it hasn't seen since November of last year. But today, it wasn't able to quite hold those gains. And part of the reason for that is because people are becoming a little bit inured to the risk represented by North Korea. And what we saw on Wall Street today is perhaps a pretty good indication of what that represents. So, for example, the S&P 500 was in positive territory, having pulled back and opened opened lower on the day. The Nasdaq is pretty similar. It's managed to close in positive territory and actually closed above the peak that we saw on Friday. So this is continuing to hold this 5,800 point level. But when, for example, we look at Europe, the majority of indices were down over 1% off the open, and they were able to retrace part of that decline by the end of trading, but not all of it, and not least because it's only been in the latter half of the day that Wall Street has been able to claw back its decline. So then if we look at the Japanese market, for example, then that was where we had most of the impact from uptick in nervousness. And we can see, for example, that the Nikkei was in mildly negative territory, but not in a dynamic manner. And when even we look at the Korean market, it wasn't down very much. In fact, it was able to claw back quite a bit of its decline and finished above where it opened on the day. Part of the reason for that is because when we think about what North Korea is doing, it's that it is trying to display to the world that it is capable of inflicting damage on a wide range of its neighbors, and therefore it's trying to make itself look larger than it is and trying to say that it isn't worth it. In fact, if we I'm rather reminded of a David Attenborough naturalist documentary where you see a small animal trying to make itself look larger so that it becomes unappetizing to a predator. That would appear to be what's going on with North Korea. That is exactly what they're trying to do. They don't want to get invaded. They don't want any kind of substantive action towards regime change. And that's what the stock market appears to be pricing in. Of course, the wild card is that we have got some volatile personalities in key decision-making posts on both sides of this argument. And obviously, the Trump administration is one of those. So is Kim Jong-un. And of course, then you have Abe in Japan, who is one of the country's longest-serving prime ministers, but has been under a cloud over the last while. So there is the potential for personalities to get involved, and that's never really a good thing. But what we're seeing from stock markets is that against that background, how likely is it that central banks are going to be raising interest rates in a violent manner? And very little of that, I suspect. So when we think about what's happening with the industrial metal complex, it is responding more to the uptick in global growth. Now, we've had a very positive environment for the last month, and it is a bit overbought in the short term, so it wouldn't be at all beyond the bounds possibility that we get some pause and consolidation. And copper prices, for example, having gone above the $3 level, then It has done frightfully well over the last 10 or 15 sessions, so some pause and consolidation would not be beyond the bounds of possibility, and we might be in for just some pause and consolidation. But against that background, when we have this uptick in the outlook for global growth, and we have synchronized global economic expansion, and commodities are beginning to respond, then it is reasonable to begin to think that precious metals should play at least some part in that recovery in industrial metal prices, even though they are not particularly industrially oriented. That's certainly the case for gold, but both platinum and palladium both have industrial uses. So it is going to be quite interesting to see whether the platinum price can sustain a move above that $1,000 level, and it's closing out the day around $999. And silver is pausing around this $17 area. It is so far still above it, and that is also the region of the trend mean around that $17 area. So this is an interesting level. It is really a big question now whether they're going to be able to sustain these breaks above key areas of resistance. And if they can, then there is the potential that they're going to participate in the recovery that we're seeing in industrial metal prices. Well, crude oil prices have been pulling back. And that's certainly been the case for WTI. There is quite a difference in the chart patterns that we have between Brent and WTI. So here's Brent, and it is pausing around this $52 area. That progression of lower rally highs has been in evidence now since January, and this is a do or die moment. If Brent crude prices can sustain these levels and push above $54, well then the downward bias for the year will have been broken. But if we look at the West Texas Intermediate price, then we have evidence that the $50 area has not held. Prices are back to 46 and change, and this is still a progression of lower rally highs. Now, it was off the lows in here today, and it has certainly pulled back above $4 this month, so we may be in for a bounce in here, but it has got some work to do. It absolutely has to sustain the move above 50 to break that downward bias. Meanwhile, what is quite interesting is the move that we're getting in gasoline prices. There's been quite a bit of volatility over the last couple of days, and now we're starting to see the traders begin to catalyze around the idea that the refining capacity might be impacted a bit more than they were willing to give credit for over the last couple of days, and gasoline prices are breaking up and out of a range that has been developing for much of the last year and has been really quite volatile. So, and there is a quite a large backwardation right now between the September and October contracts, and that's within the context of what is a very cyclical interplay between supply and demand over the course of the year because of that refining time schedule. When we then look at something else that I think is worth highlighting and perhaps looking at the commonality that we're seeing in some of these charts. I'm going to post all of these charts in comment of the day today, but if we take the names off the charts for a moment, because this is Fitbit, this is TripAdvisor, then if we look at GrowPro, and if we look at Etsy or Yelp or a number of those companies that made a lot of, and Twitter also falls into that category. And when we look at all of these chart patterns, what we're presented with are these base formations. And obviously, these companies did not decline for no reason. They declined for non-trivial reasons, but those declines happened over a year ago. And we have to conclude that if the price has stopped going down, that a lot of the bad news is already in the price, and these represent base formations. And it's quite rare now to be able to identify base formation development within the technology sector. So I think that this is an increasingly interesting group of companies to keep an eye on. They all represent, in one way, shape, or form, new tech, and they have been so far, they've been the losers out of all of that. What is interesting is that these companies have been largely inert. But when you look at, for example, companies like Priceline, which have really pulled back quite sharply, and that's a $1,800 a share value for Priceline. It has now fulfilled a reversion back to the mean, and this is a sort of an interesting area that it is coming back into. And Expedia, losing its CEO to Uber in here today, has also pulled back to the region of the trend mean, and these have been among the better performing shares. So this is a key area for them to demonstrate that support can be found. And if that is indeed the case, then the progression of high reaction lows will remain intact, and we can still conclude that they are generally consistent trends. When we take a look at some of the much larger cap shares, like Apple, for example, then it has been firming, and it is continuing to price in a bullish outcome from the release of a new phone, new watch, and a new TV product next month. And this is still a reasonably consistent advance. Amazon is continuing to digest Whole Foods and is back in the region of the trend mean, having hit a peak around just under $1,100. It's now at $950, so that's a fairly substantial pullback, and it is back testing previous lows, and it's in the region of the trend mean, so it's a natural area where support should begin to be found. What I think a lot of commentators, and I've certainly posted a number of the charts for the supermarket chains, and that they have really been pulling back and are still pricing in bad news. But what I find also interesting is in the shares of companies like Kellogg, which has been trending lower for the better part of a year already. The peak was in July of last year. And of course, the news is full of these stories about Whole Foods and Amazon, and the fact that they're cutting prices aggressively. But of course, Whole Foods has got a lot of its own brands, and these in-home brands, and the evolution of the marketing strategy for both Aldi and Lidl. In fact, I went to visit an Aldi over the weekend because I was curious whether it was going to be similar or not to what you see in Europe. And what I found interesting was that it was very well populated by customers. I had to drive quite a significant distance to find one, but certainly it was is doing rather well. And that's I found interesting, because what we're beginning to see is that it's businesses that are focusing on their own brands rather than buying in brands. And for example, Kellogg's would be one of those. And then what's I think increasingly going to be important is what the yield is on some of these companies, because with the price coming down, then the yield is obviously going up, and these are well-established companies, and a significant number of these consumer goods companies are dividend aristocrats. And I just want to use this opportunity to highlight that 3.5% level. 3.5% on some of these dividend aristocrat type companies tends to be an area where people are willing to buy them. And we can look at, for example, Coca-Cola, which would be in a very similar situation, and the yield is beginning to pull back from that 3.5% level. I've talked about this in previous broadcasts, but 3.5% tends to be an area where you do see demand starting to return for these kinds of companies. So that would suggest that investors are willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but only at an attractive yield, that they are really considering them not from a price perspective, but from a yield perspective. So I think that's going to be an increasingly important characteristic, and their ability to continue to grow their dividends and to raise their dividends in line with inflation is going to be a key determinant of their continued ability to perform. So when, for example, we look at the consumer staples sector, I think that that is going to be a rather important characteristic, because it is now in the region of the trend mean. It isn't as if it hasn't pulled back below the trend mean on previous occasions, but every time that it has pulled back below the trend mean, it has found support relatively quickly. And we might be in for something similar in this situation, that this evolution of technology and the evolution of own brands and the confluence of both technology and a willingness to compete on price is not only a threat to the retailer, but also to the types of companies that rely on the retailer to stock their products. That's as true of Ralph Lauren and Macy's as it is of Kellogg's and Kroger. So I think that that's something that a lot of people are going to be thinking about as we move forward. And when then we look at the currency markets, I think some of the biggest news has been obviously with regard to the pound and the euro. I've written a bit about it's really thinking about the negotiations in terms of game theory, and not least from observing how Mrs. Tracy, who I regard as the best negotiator I've ever come across, how she interacts in order to get the best possible prices. And what we're seeing is that the pound is now extending its decline. It's been falling in a very steady manner for a month already, and it has broken below the 110 level. I would anticipate that we're going to have an uptick in emotive statements, that it is going to come down to the wire because the stakes are so incredibly high, and it isn't in anybody's interests to try and settle them early because that would be ceding control. That would give up a that would show weakness, which would be exploited later. So I think it would be rash or perhaps naive to expect that we're going to expect anything from the negotiations until you have the leaders sitting down to iron out the existing problems. And it is, of course, always going to come down to money. If we are anticipating that there is going to be at least some conclusion to the negotiations in October, well then perhaps the price of the pound is pricing this in, and that this decline could continue for another while, and we could have a sell the rumor by the news type of event because there will be such a wide overextension at that point. So I think that this is going to be an interesting currency pair at some point over the next 6 weeks. And with this uptick in geopolitical tension and tension, what we saw with the pullback in equities today was a pop upwards in the bond price, but it was not able to hold that move to new recovery highs, and it is now closing pretty much flat on the day. So if we get a continued rally in equities tomorrow, then we can probably anticipate that the bond prices rally has done about as much as it's going to do in the short term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.